Hallelujah. Today's teaching is your tongue is the key to your success. We have outlines in the back if you didn't get one. I started a series called Affirmations Are Not Vain Repetitions. And we did part two last Friday. And I really encourage you to get the series to hand out to your family and friends. And if you did not get a chance to listen to it, it will really bless you. As we go back over basics, God gives us more revelation to go deeper and get more of what we need. Amen. And so today it's going to tie into what we've been talking about on the Friday night, since a lot of you were not here. I'm not going to repeat a lot of it, but I am going to summarize a little bit in this teaching. Now, we're going to start with A, your tongue is powerful. And most people take that for granted. Most people don't realize how powerful each of us are. We have been made in the image of God himself. And so when you open up the Bible in Genesis, it will say, and God said, and it was. Amen. So when you say, then it is. It doesn't matter what it is, or even if you inadvertently mentioned it, and especially if you're singing a song along with the radio and you don't realize what you are singing. You know, sometimes I stop when the oldies but goodies are on in a restaurant and people start bopping to the music, and, you know, all of a sudden, raindrops are falling on your head. And I'm like, okay, that's not bad. And then you go on with the rest of the song, and then you go, oops, do I want to say that? I mean, I don't want to be depressed. That's a depressing song, you know? I don't want to speak those things over my life. And those of you that don't know the song, it's okay. You can listen to it. Don't sing it. Catch ourselves, you know? Sticks and stones may break someone's bones, but words will never hurt them is a lie. That was handed to us as a kid. Words do hurt. Ouch. And words hurt even when they're not spoken in front of your face. Your tongue is powerful. God wants you to be as powerful as he is. He wants us to learn to be just like him and be imitators of Christ. So number one, as we know, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Now say that with me and say my tongue. Death and life are in the power of my tongue. And number two says, you have the power to choose life or death. Blessings or cursings, according to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Now, that means that you choose to create life or you choose to create death with your words. Do you think we're going to be a little bit more careful now? You know, we've known that word in our heads, haven't we? We've studied and studied, and we absolutely know these scriptures. But it's amazing to me how oftentimes that when we're counseling people that are mature Christians, they still speak snares over themselves, and that's a result of their sickness. That's a result of the situation they're in. And they don't even realize it. They're not catching themselves. They're not analyzing what they're saying. And so we stop and say, did you just hear what you said? And they have to stop and think. Because it's automatic pilot. You know, the devil taught us for so many years, we don't even realize it. And so, you know, I will share this story with many people, and some of you may have not heard it. Pastor Bill Winston, he has a big church in Chicago, and he, before ABC, was one of our spiritual mentors, and when he would come to California, he would fly his own plane. And I had prophesied to him years ago that God was going to give him a plane. And he said, how did you know I asked God for one? I said, I didn't. So the prophecy came to pass. We picked him up at the tarmac. He goes, you want to see the plane? I said, oh, yeah. So Pastor James and I go up in there and we look at this beautiful plane inside and we said, awesome. Because see, he was traveling many places. And in order to go through customs or go through the gate or this or that, it would take so many hours. And so his time is God's time, and God wanted him to get there in a hurry and be able to manage his time more wisely. It wasn't because he was a snob and, you know, hi, I want a plane. No, God provided a need. Okay. So he confessed it into being with his words. He said, God told me to get a plane. And he was thinking, where am I going to get the money from the plane? But he didn't say that. In his brain, he heard those words, but in his mouth, he said, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Therefore, God wants me to have a plane. Therefore, God has already provided me a Gulfstream jet plane, and he named exactly what he wanted on it. Okay? And I think there was a story of, was it Jerry Savelle who wanted a plane? And he just believed that God wanted him to have a plane too. And so he didn't have the money. So he bought an airplane chamois that shines up the window in the plane. Just a little cloth that dusts it. And he said, this is my airplane chamois. Could have been a car chamois, but no, he bought one for airplanes. And that was his point of contact of faith. And I have my plane because I have my chamois, you know. And so he confessed it before he got it, right? And as he kept going, thank you, Lord, that I have my plane in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, I have my plane in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, I have my plane. And then he rented the hangar, a garage, where the plane gets parked. And then pretty soon, God gave him the plane to fill the hangar. So, you know, a lot of people will say, I will not believe it till I see it. Then, honey, you're never going to see it. That is not scriptural, right? So, okay, number three. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, let's use sickness, doctor's diagnosis, bank account, bills, challenges, whoever shall say to the impossible, be thou removed. It didn't say whatever preacher that's a great faith. It didn't say, oh, my Bible instructor teachers. It said, whosoever is you. You shall say to those mountains, and it shall be removed when you say it. And be thou cast into the sea and shall not, but you, here's the condition, shall not doubt in his or her heart, but shall believe that those things which he or she saith shall come to pass, and he or she shall have whatsoever he or she saith. Now here's the thing. The devil comes to steal your seed. The devil comes to steal your faith. You spoke it out. You don't see anything happening, and the devil says, it's not working. And from the time you spoke it out to the time that you see the manifestation is warfare. From A to Z. And there's a B, C, D, E, and F. And there's an uphill and a downhill. And there's all kinds of stuff. And there's storms. And it's sometimes not easy from A to Z. Okay? But you have to believe that the word is so true that regardless what comes against you, you know you have the victory because it's true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Stand firm. I don't care where you are in your faith walk. God says you have victory already. And just the mere fact of you confessing his word means that you have caused it and created it to come to pass. If there was no way, you make that way with the word. You have to believe it in your heart. It has to become heart faith, not just in your head. It has to go from your mind of hearing the word into your mind, knowing the knowledge, coming right down into your faith. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. So if you stub your toe and you go, oh, you know what was in there? Need some cleansing. Right? But if you stub your toe, or a whole big case of stuff falls on your toe, and a cuss word doesn't come out, but the word of God, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, you know something's working, right, Pastor Matthew? He said that before he was saved, he cussed worse than a sailor. And so he knew he was really saved when that day came and that crate fell on his foot. And wow, the word of God came out instead. Praise the Lord. Nice surprise. Right? Hallelujah. Number four, for in many things we offend all. Now we're talking about James 3 and we're reading verses 2 to 5. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Does that mean if we become non-offensive, we're perfecting ourselves? It also means when you don't become offended by someone else, you are perfecting yourself. This is a big way that the devil comes to steal the word of God in you. And able also to what? Bridle the whole body. So see, when you're not offended, your body's bridled. When you have offense, your body has opened doors for sickness. If you still have sickness and infirmity attacking you, you better check those roots of offense. Don't become offended at me. I'm just the messenger. I check that all the time. And when I do, there were more roots that I didn't even know of. And as you have seen one and you have confessed it and repented and broken and you've forgiven people, you're doing great. But see, if there's more manifestation of sickness, there's more roots. That's all that means. You know what that means? Dig deeper. Let's go digging. See, a lot of us don't want to hear the truth because we say the truth hurts. Well, you know, I found out it's the opposite. Believing a lie hurts more, and it kills, and the truth will set us free. And so when you have a splinter and you don't take care of it, and pretty soon it was on the surface and it could have been just a really easy tweezer out thing, but ouch, I don't want to give myself any pain. I'm just going to ignore it like it doesn't exist. In a couple of weeks, that splinter is going to dig deeper because as you're using it, it's just going to keep getting pushed down deeper and deeper and deeper. And some people who never take care of it, the splinter gets into their bloodline and goes up into their heart and kills them. And so when it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and now it's hurting really bad and there's infection and it's just red and it's throbbing. Now I have to get the needle. I have to open it up. I have to dig down deep, deep, deep. And I need the assistance of somebody else to, as I'm opening and it hurts like heck, has to get the tweezers and pray that when they catch the end of it, the front of it doesn't break off. So it could just slide out. And if it does break off because it's been disintegrating and wants to become part of my body, then if it does break off, now I have to go even deeper and now it's bleeding even more. And then I have to put antiseptic to cleanse the wound and get all the infection out around it. And now I have, instead of a tiny, tiny sliver, I've got a monstrous hole in my finger. That's what we do spiritually. We ignore something that hurts us or offends us and we bury it down deep because we don't want it to re-hurt us. And then we think that it's gone away, but we haven't dealt with it. It's just pushing it down more and causing more and more harm. So the best thing to do is say, you know what? I want to know my sins. And if I'm offended by you telling me what my sins are, then I don't want truth and I don't want to be cleansed. Now, yes, we do need lessons. There is no class and maybe we should invent one. How to tell people their sins and not offend them class. Wouldn't that be nice? I won't be teaching it. Anyway, someone more diplomatic might be teaching that. Like my husband, okay? And he always, whenever he starts his sentences with, honey, with all due respect, I brace myself. And I love him for it because then I wouldn't have known my unaware sins to stop doing it because then I keep getting on his nerves or I keep doing something to offend somebody. If I don't know, I'm just going to keep doing. Most people do not do things on purpose. But there are demons that infiltrate our lives since we're little, or cultural things that we learn that we don't even realize. But if we take the bait and become offended, we're not being perfected. And if we're not being perfected, we can't bridle our body. And if we can't bridle our body, we can't get out that sickness. We can't get out the demons that are behind the sickness. And so we've got to make sure that our tongue now starts to be exercised in the right way. And just as we purpose to go to the gym or purpose to go walking every day to exercise, we have to purpose to exercise the tongue, because when it wags on its own, Lord have mercy, it does all kinds of damage, even to our own selves, right? So we're going to become tongue exercisers. Right? Why? Because when we walk in the fruit of self-control, we bridle the body, we bridle the tongue, and we create life, and we stop whatever we don't like in our lives that we have created through seeds in the past of somewhere speaking a negative word over our own lives and reaping the bad stuff. Because the devil put the thought in our head, and then we allowed our tongue to repeat those thoughts. We did not analyze if the thought was from God or not. Because if it's a word that's not gracious, is it really from God? It doesn't mean that you can't analyze a problem to fix it. That's where people get mixed up. It is the heart motive of why you're doing it and how you're doing it. Let's look at that, okay? So we are going to continue. We're number four. Now we're on the third sentence. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We need our tongue to obey our spirit, okay? And we turn about and their whole body. So if a big old horse can be turned by a little bridle and a bit in his mouth, right? Shouldn't we learn to control our tongue so that our entire life will be turned around for God? Behold also the ships, because they're big, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm whithersoever the governor listeth. You got to be captain of your life. Do not let the demons master your tongue. You master it because you're led by the Holy Spirit. This is what we need to step up to the plate of the next level to have self-control tongues. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. That's pride, isn't it? Yeah. And so we don't want to fall or have destruction because of a pride or a haughty spirit. So we have to learn not to walk in pride as we speak to glorify who? Jesus, not ourselves. Okay? Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know this fire up here in the Cajon Pass? After an hour, I think they said it burned 30,000 acres. Whew. That's fast, man. Do you know your tongue burns worse than that? Let's bridle it for good. Amen? A, the Greek translation of tongue is glossa or glossa. The Strong's Concordance, you can find it in G1100, means it's the member of the body or an organ of speech. Here's the interesting thing. It is language or dialect. So, you know, the other day, Pastor James was preaching. He said, things are all turned around and messed up. And, you know, now we're watching this music show. And instead of saying, that was excellent, you sang so well, they said, wow, that was really sick. Does that mean good? That means good now, but it doesn't mean good. whatever the word speaks forth, regardless of the colloquial definition that the devil is trying to update, he knows that he's training the young people to say what he wants them to say. Pastor Joshua was talking about the other day how somebody would say, look at that ice cream. Somebody might say, it's to die for. Do they want to die because they're eating the ice cream? But it gives permission the devil to kill them right there and then. Right there and then. They don't even know it. See, we got to watch our words. It's the dialect. No matter if you think the definition is not what it's supposed to be, what its original meaning is what the devil will use, because he's a legalist. And he will take every inch he can get for that open door to attack somebody. Number five, do all things without complaining or disputing. Philippians 2:14. No, the pastor did not pay me to say that. But God wanted me to put that in there. Strong's definition, G1112, gogissimos, means to murmur or mutter or say over and over and over. It's a secret debate. It's a secret displeasure, not openly avowed. Now, what's the definition of complaint? It's to say something that expresses annoyance or unhappiness with disgust or quarreling. If a complaint was bad, God would not have set up judges, so that you could come before the judge and say what the dispute is, and then the judge would hopefully, you know, have justice and fairly resolve the conflict. But if it's done in a way that is truly wanting resolution, it's okay. But if someone just really wants to complain because they don't like something, and the real reason is because as they keep complaining and complaining, complaining, sometimes complaints come in because there's no resolution. It doesn't mean it's nagging. Just because it's repeated doesn't mean it's nagging. It could be there's a memory loss, so you're reminding someone. It could be because there's still something wrong happening and people are still getting negative effects, so it needs to be resolved and you need to bring that to the, you know, if it's number 100 on the priority list, it needs to be bumped up to number 5. So you're reminding them, hey, people are still getting negatively affected. But if it's constantly without a good reason, and sometimes people just assume negatively that it's nag without asking why they're repeating. But if it's constant and constant and constant, you know that many times that nagging turns into constant harassing because they want the person to obey them. And because they're not obeying them, then they keep harping on them. And pretty soon the person's like, all right, just shut up. I'll just do whatever you want because I can't take it anymore. We don't want that, do we? And negative affirmations can bring bad results. What do you mean a negative affirmation? Well, let's go see what an affirmation is. B, godly affirmations brings successful results. This is a faithful saying that these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Titus 3:8. Oh, people are out there saying affirmations are ungodly, because affirmations are vain repetitions. And as you will see in our series on Friday night at 6 p.m., the word of God is not vain. And all throughout the Bible, it says to speak the word constantly, to meditate on it day and night. It's Paul even says, I thank God that I pray more than all of you. Okay, he was praying what? The word of God. So what is the Bible dictionary definition to affirm? Means to assert, to confirm, to tell with confidence, to maintain as true, and to declare a fact. So if that is ungodly to declare that the word of God is truth, then their doctrines are not correct. And so that's why I started teaching this series, so we could see the truth of the word of God. Now, when you go back to Titus 3:8, what is the result of affirming? You know, that definition of affirm isn't just by itself. It's to affirm constantly. It doesn't say to affirm one time. It doesn't say to affirm infrequently. It doesn't say to affirm after you've gotten your healing and now the devil's trying to bring it back so you start your affirmations again. It says affirm constantly. Why? Because you're always to declare that God's word is truth over yourself. So that way you're eating of the word daily. It's your daily bread. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of who? God. Now, if we're made in the image of God, that means that when you speak God's word, the devil thinks that you are God speaking that word. All he sees is the word. We are God's children. He is the mighty God. He's our heavenly Father. But when you are delegated his authority by speaking his word, the demons obey his word just like they obey him. Do you get it? So when I stop maintaining my affirmations, the door is open for the devil to try to sneak back. Okay? And so what am I doing when I'm affirming? It means that these things are good and profitable. They're beneficial to us. Then if God is telling us it's good and beneficial, why should I not do it? Right? And we've seen the results of it. You can control your tongue by speaking affirmations. That is so important. See, you pray once, you know that God has heard your request. He does not have Alzheimer's, so he doesn't forget. He's not deaf, so you don't have to repeat it louder. And it is doubt when we do. And when we ask again, it is not faith. We have canceled our prayers. When we make the request, it's one time. Your order has gone into heaven. Now your faith is the bridge with your affirmations that bring your answer that is already yours to the manifestation of the earthly realm. That bridge is broken or roadblocked when we have doubt, unbelief, or start speaking things that don't line up with the word of God. You have halted your shipment. It won't arrive. Now you can repent, and then the block is taken off, and then we start with our faith again, affirming, and then the shipment is going to keep coming again. Does that make sense? Okay. So we have got to control, see, spirit of control, self-control. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to grow in the fruit of self-control. I just want to tell them a piece of my mind because they just said something that offended me and I just have to tell them right now. And guess what happens? They fall into sin. So we have to learn to zip the lip. I want to say it. Oh, no, I can't. I want to say it. No, I can't. Yes, I can. No, I can't. Do it in your mind. And pretty soon is there, you know, yelling at you and screaming at you and whatever, you just smile. God bless you. Walk away. Go in your bathroom and scream after. Whatever you want to do. Okay, practice the self-control. I have a right to speak my opinion. Yes, you do. But the devil has a right to take your opinion if it doesn't line up with the word and destroy you. Let's not let him do that. I don't want to be led by my emotions. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I don't want my body to control me anymore. I want to control it by God's word. And then that means I have to let God control my tongue. Right? Okay, so number three, B3, avoid speech and actions which contradict your faith. Now we're going to read James 1:6-8. But let him or her ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man or woman think that he or she shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his or her ways. Sometimes I go back and I look at unanswered prayer and I say, where am I missing it? Do I have unforgiveness, self-unforgiveness, or was I offended at somebody still? Now, if I say, well, I did forgive so-and-so from my heart, I spoke it out and I blessed them, I sang to them, and then when I see them, I go, oh, I don't want to sit by them. I'm staying away from him or her. That's unforgiveness. Everybody's attacked by the devil. Everybody has demons. It's just a matter of how many. I still have to be gracious and kind to that person. And you know, if I'm not praying for that person and Lord God, in the name of Jesus, show them their unaware sins and help them to get cleansed of it, I thank you that so-and-so has been cleansed by the word of God in the name of Jesus, by the washing of the water of the word, then I'm going to be part of the problem and propagate, and they will constantly be an annoyance. Because if I say, that person is so annoying, I cannot take it anymore, I have just affirmed negatively and negatively prophesy that that person will continue to be an annoyance. And if that person is praying, Lord, help me not be an annoying person, it's hindering that person to be growing, even though they never heard me say it because I was doing it behind their back. Well, I don't do that behind people's back, but other people may. That was just an example. But do you see what I'm saying? That person can never change appropriately if we constantly say what we see their sins are. If I constantly say what my own sin is, I'm hindering myself. You know, you hear people say, oh, such a stupid idiot. Mm-hmm. Or you think you're going to get smarter saying that? No. Right? So we need to catch ourselves and help each other. Now, someone comes to you and says, you know, so-and-so was really annoying today. Let's pray about it, okay? In the name of Jesus, Lord God, help that person to see, open the eyes of their understanding and flood it with light, that in their hearts they want to serve you. So, Lord God, we ask you to send the right laborers and ministers to minister to that person and open the eyes of their understanding and flood it with light so they could have the revelation of their unaware sin in Jesus' name. See the difference? Okay? The purpose is your heart. You know, come not against the Lord's anointed. But if that pastor is offending so many people that now there's two people left in his or her church, they got to learn what they're doing or they're going to keep driving people away. Right? But if someone said, hey, pastor, did you realize that you did this and that and this and that was a very offensive? No, I didn't realize that. Do you see the difference? But people are afraid to tell the truth because they're afraid of offending people. But if you don't help someone and give them advice and good counsel, we're not loving them enough. And we need to pray and we need to speak words of love and graciousness. We need to do things with right motives in our hearts. We need to make sure that our tongue is going to be of assistance to somebody. And we have to have the Holy Spirit show us what to say, when to say it, who to say it, where to eat, how much to eat. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's really important. I mean, we have to practice. And so if when we're practicing, we offend somebody, just say, I'm sorry, I was practicing. Can I start over? You know, we need grace, don't we? We're not perfect. It's okay. We need to help each other grow. Why do Christians kill each other? Why do we just throw people away? Oh, they're a strife maker. Well, I'm not going to teach them how not to walk in strife. Just because they're a strife maker, just get out of my sight. Do you see what I'm saying? Are they fixable? Are they coachable? Are they willing to listen and learn and grow? Am I willing to listen and grow and learn? That's number one. I want God to help me grow. And if someone has to tell me something that isn't pleasant At least can you try to do it as pleasant as possible? Okay, number four. Let's start with small things, examples. Don't pray for sunshine and then affirm you'll get wet, so you take an umbrella. Don't declare that your head has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, then take an aspirin for a headache. Don't declare that you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus and then tell everybody that every fall you catch the flu. Number five, let's practice walking in faith by praying one time, asking for everything that you need or desire, then affirm God's word until you receive the manifestation desired. Amen. Amen. So are we going to be tongue bridlers?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Are we going to learn to walk in self-control?
Yes.
And are we going to give grace to people who are practicing not to be offensive? Yes. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you that your word is true and that we are becoming perfected through the word of God. And that, Lord, you're helping each of us to get to the next place in our walk with you. We thank you, Lord God, that our tongue is the key to our success. Help us, Lord, to use it wisely, to be as powerful as you are, because we choose to speak words of life. We choose to create successful things for ourselves so that we can continue to be used for your kingdom. To expand it, that you would be glorified and not us. I thank you, Lord God, that you help us control our tongues, that your word, Lord God, is bridling our whole body like bits in a horse's mouth. I thank you, Lord God, that although our tongue is a little member, it will not destroy, but it will be a fire of God to burn out what the devil is trying to do against us and against our lives and against our family and against our churches. And we declare that only the word of God will stand true in our lives in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have made us powerful and that we will wield that power with wisdom and gracious words to the hearers that will speak for truth, and that truth will set us free and help us to have success as ministers of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.